excellent. Okay, the Midweek Drive about to launch with a fantastic individual who is actually responsible for three of the most insufferably catchy pop tunes ever in the entire universe. We say a happy hello to Alan Warner. How are you, Alan?
Hi, great, thanks, yeah.
Now, I've deliberately held back the full announcement from the three co-presenters who are in the studio at present. That's Jessica, Emily and Catherine, because they might, I mean, they're undergraduates at the University of Lincoln. They may, I mean, I'll be amazed if they haven't heard of this, but I'm just sort of thinking, if we kind of launch into this with what probably is, as I said, one of the most insufferably catchy tunes ever in the entire Western world history of, then maybe that'll set the scene. What do you think, Alan? Would that be feasible to kind of consider as a way forward?
Well, I think so, definitely.
Yeah, it's seen, and obviously our Welsh correspondents are listening as well. I think Robin Pierce would be quite interested in terms of this, because you're on tour, and this, of course, is your band, let's face it, the Foundations. Build Me Up, Buttercup. Build Me Up, Don't Break My Heart. Alan Warner, welcome formally to the Midweek Drive. Again, presumably, you when you're asked for that record, you say no. We only play our new stuff.
No. We always, we have to play that one.
Yeah,
otherwise, we're a bit in trouble.
Well, I was thinking about it. I mean, when you're performing in Dudley on the 15th of February, which is very soon, of course,
this Saturday,
exactly.
Saturday, yeah.
And of course, you're off to the King's Hall in Ilkley on the 28th, Royal
That's
Hippodrome
right.
in March, March the 8th, Eastbourne, Cannock, Stevenage, also there, Runcorn, Redditch, Birmingham. It's an extensive tour, Alan, which is good.
Yeah.
But it proves. The quality is there. Now, you're not just a great musician, guitarist and guitar teacher. You're also author of various guitar instruction books. You've also included How to Play Rock Blues Guitar. And indeed, the curious one, the first book you actually wrote was The Guitar Cookbook. Don't the splinters get in your teeth when you're trying to get a sandwich of a decent guitar?
Exactly. That's the thing about that one.
I know. Build Me Up, Buttercup. We'll go back to that because it kind of had a whole new lease of life with Cameron Diaz, with, of course, There's Something About Mary. And actually, in the studio, formally introduce you now to Emily Boston. Emily yelps of joy a few seconds ago.
Yes. Alan.
Hi, Emily.
I actually went to a wedding on Thursday, and at the reception, Build Me Up, Buttercup was requested four times, I think.
Four times, not just once.
So it's definitely very popular.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, all these years later, you know, we're still appealing to the younger generation. That's great.
Oh, God, yeah, we love it. I mean, we know all the words. We was there singing along. It's so catchy, so we love it.
That's great. Well, I hope it all went well. I'm sure it did go all well.
It was great. It was a lovely day, yeah.
I wonder if they'd actually requested Bad, Bad Old Day four times. Would have been the same sort of thing.
No, that wouldn't have been so appropriate, would it?
You know, you never know. Making your debut on the production, we've also got Catherine Dove. Catherine, Build Me Up, Buttercup. Is it something that you kind of recognised pretty much right when it's the first bars hit the airwaves?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's very much like a kind of road trip song with me and my mum. She loves it, so she's always playing it when we're driving somewhere. Brings back memories from fun memories and stuff.
Road trip song. Oh, that's great. That's the first time I've heard it described as that.
Alan, I'm sure the next compilation of tunes to drive by with Catherine Dove and her mum will actually sort of, you know, have that, you know, be well up there. And from North Carolina, United States of America, Jessica Burtis. Jessica, Build Me Up, Buttercup.
Oh, yeah, we love that back home. It makes me think of my childhood so much. You hear it a lot.
Oh, fantastic. I've got wonderful memories of America touring over there.
Oh, good.
Fantastic. Did you ever tour North Carolina at all? Charlottesville and May, Alan?
Raleigh, maybe.
Raleigh? Did you get that? Or were you, it's a case of, no, we do New York and Los Angeles, and the rest of it is just bits in between.
It was mainly up north more, you know. It's more, you know, New York, Minnesota, and, but who knows, we may well hit that town at some point.
I'm
Charlottesville,
sure.
North Carolina,
I'm sure it's a matter of time. We can actually work through that. You need it, Alan. You need it from that point of view.
Yeah. Well, it's not nice to feel needed.
Again, these sort of things found on that wonderful thing, the device called the Internet of Things and such like. Is it true that as a boy, you originally wanted to play trumpet but ended up with a toy accordion?
Yeah, it's becoming legendary now.
I mean, it could have meant years of therapy. It could have meant a whole range of other challenges, you know. But, Mama, Dada, I wanted to have a trumpet, and you've given me an accordion. I can't blow it.
Well, if I had gaffer tape back in those days, I may well have kept that accordion going, but it kept just ripping. And I tried sellotape, and of course, it only lasted another couple of minutes or so, and so I had to give that up in the end. But sort of years later, when you're on the road, of course you've got the roadies, you know, and they've got their gaffer tape in their hands, you know, and if I'd have had my accordion with us, I could have got them to fix it for us, couldn't I?
If only the gaffer tape was
if
there.
If only, I'd be an accordion player now.
Not quite the same. We're going to talk more about that. We've been joined by Kira Osbrook in the studio as well, but I feel we have to because it's almost like Alan Warner Foundations Day here from that point of view. And I feel we need to have another Foundations tune lined up again from the Department of I Just Can't Stop Humming This. Alan, would you like to introduce Baby Now That I've Found You by the Foundations and yourself? Over to you, Alan.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Baby Now That I've Found You by the Foundations.
Oh,
I think that deserves a full round of applause.
Yay!
And Catherine Dove, I think I know where you're going to be taking your mum on March the 26th at Stevenage.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely have to pop along and...
Gordon Craig, Stevenage.
Oh, Gordon Craig.
Mm.
Oh, great. Catherine.
Yes.
Okay. Right, okay. Look out for you.
Shout out to Frances.
A key sort of routine from that body. Actually, would you like Alan to give a little shout out to your mum now?
Yes, please. Can you say hello to Frances?
Frances. Yeah. Hi, Frances. We're really looking forward to meeting you at the Gordon Craig Stevenage. And let's hope you're going to enjoy it. I'm sure you will.
It will, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you are allowed to get up and dance as well, by the way.
Oh, I'll be making the most of that.
Kira, welcome to the programme. Have you sort of caught the awesomeness of the foundation so far?
Yes, I have. At first I was like, no offence, but I've never heard of them. And then when I heard the song, I was like, classic.
The song's more famous than the band.
Yeah, echoes through on that basis. So, as we said, we could have a whole range of things in terms of earnings. I mean, highlights from yourself. I mean, is it a case of that first Spanish guitar for Christmas that your parents bought you back at the age of 11, or was it a case of, no, I'm going to move on to a whole range of things? I mean, you've worked with Phil Lynott, you've done a whole stack of other sort of bits and pieces from that, and of course Pluto, progressive rock band, etc. Anything which you sort of think, yeah, that was a moment where I thought, life's okay.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, you talk about Pluto, we've just come out of the studio, actually. We just brought our second album, or finished recording the second album after a lot of people asking for it. So
we look forward to featuring that in the fullness of time, Alan, because I feel that would tuck into all sorts of things. We've got two final questions, and we've got to move up to Edinburgh and then we're over to Wales, etc., Los Angeles. Alan Warner, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Yeah, it's been great.
This is absolutely nice. Brilliant. This is good. So will you be kind enough to join us again? I mean, presumably Catherine and I will actually meet you in Stevenage. I'm going to remind you. Actually, where can people find out details about the Foundation's tour? Is there a website? How can people actually get online and actually say, we're going to guide them now?
Okay. Well, you'll see a lot of things. There's Lemon Rock. Mm-hmm. There's Entertainment's 24. I've got a website, www.alan-warner.com. So you'll see the Foundation's date on there.
One's a small
Facebook
planet
as well. I'm on Facebook, so you'll see it all on there. And
Alan, it has been awesome. We will doubtless speak again. I can't resist. What do you think, ladies? Should we actually play another Foundation's tune?
Because
it is a bit ironic in terms of it, in the bad old days, the good old days, they're working through it in all sorts of underways. Alan, we salute you. Take care. Happy trails. And I'm sure it'll be a tour that'll be, frankly, unbelievably wonderful. In fact, I know in North Carolina you'd be probably shipping Americans over literally just to hear the Foundation.
That'd be fantastic.
Girl, and I was your only man. You came into my life.
Bad old days. Well, they're the good days. Let's just be positive. That's the important thing, especially when we actually go over to America, indeed home, amongst other things, of the awesome Jessica Burtis. A little buzz, really. I mean, just a sign up for you. Come over here and you still connect with the old home country.
Yep, it's nice to hear the accents.
There you are, North Carolina. And we say, as you know, our Chancellor of the University, Lord Victor, he was very keen on your accent last Friday.
That was really nice to hear.
Amazing. Jim Christina, writer and host of The Writer's Block on LA Talk Radio, the owner of Tuscany Bay Books, general fantastic author, etc. Welcome to the Midweek Drive, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well, Alex. How about yourself?
Tickety-boo, to use a British expression, which is just quite... We're fine. Whereabouts in the United States of America do we find you today, Jim? Because I believe you're on Central Time.
We are on, actually, Mountain Time, and I'm in Star, Idaho.
Ah, Mountain Time in Idaho. Did you say Star, Idaho?
Star, Idaho. We're about 15 miles northwest of Boise.
Oh, Boise, Indiana. Is it? Or Boise, Idaho?
Boise, Idaho.
Boise, Idaho. You see, my geography, when it comes to America, it's as bad as asking yourself, our citizens of Idaho, to say, where's Whitby and Seton Carew? It's not going to happen. You know,
well, yeah, or tell me where Manchester is compared to London. I have no clue.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about, because we've got two English undergraduates with us in the studio here, not one, but two, double joy, with respect to Emily Bolton and Catherine Dove. Emily, any questions you'd like to put to Jim about writer's block, which presumably is ironic? I mean, I can't believe that Jim would ever suffer from writer's block, and it's a wonderful podcast. Ironic sense.
Actually, I do.
Yes, I'm actually really interested about it. I listened to your one last week, I think it was, when you were speaking about Yasmin, the young author who had her book coming up,
yes,
and you'd signed up for Tuscany Books. And I just think with writer's block is such an amazing thing, because you have conversations with writers from all aspects. And what was the inspiration behind starting up? What made you think that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, we were already writers, myself and my co-owner, Richard Polinelli. And we both were self-publishing, and we thought, well, why do that when we can put together a company and give it a name?
That sounds fantastic.
So, yeah, and now we're publishing other books, and we're, you know, we've got some writers on board, and I've just finished with a Mickey Mickelson's writers, Miranda O, and we've done
Miranda on this very show last week, as we recall.
Was she?
Yeah, she was indeed, with her wonderful scenario, Chin Up, and we just won't say anything else, because who knows what could happen with this.
Yeah.
A little bit of sensitivity. Chester. I think Chester. You know, it frightened some of our Welsh listeners when we were talking about that. I mean, he couldn't stop talking about it. He all this fellow just here. I don't know if he knows what happened to his sheepdog.
Right.
Musings for a mind not yet healed from the ravages of years gone by. A standout collection of thoughtful poetry and heart-tugging lyrics. In which author and musician Jim Christina, that's your good self, of course, Jim, lays yourself bare.
That was me.
Yeah, in That's All You Get. Is that it? I mean, is that a case of, well, that's all, I've given it all, I've got nothing more, that's all you're getting?
Well, that's actually the name of a song that the lyrics are included in this little book. But these are all stuff that I wrote between 1967 and 1983. Mm.
So quite some seismic changes, though. I mean, you know, we sent man to the moon, and then we came back again and did nothing else. And we also had a president who was impeached. Actually had to leave before he was impeached. Watergate, etc.
Yeah, correct.
The hay, exactly. Let's be precise. Tricky Dicky doing his stuff. Heaps of other things. Ronald Reagan, of course, coming to office, etc. I mean, just proving that when it comes to presidents of the United States, there are so many good guys around. It's quite unbelievable. Sorry, I'm being ironic there. Catherine, any questions for yourself?
What sort of genres do you find that working with a publishing company, you get exposure to more genres? Have you found a kind of niche that you want to specialize in publishing? How does that sort of work?
Well, right now we are working on anthologies, planetary anthologies. We just finished Pluto and Uranus, and we're going to be
Saturn.
We finished Pluto and Venus.
Venus.
One of the two. And we're starting work on Uranus now. And so we're doing all the anthologies. Some of them are upwards of 700 pages. Some of them are 400 or 500 pages. It just depends on the writers.
Works for me. So many ways that particular line.
Yeah, and it works for us too.
Yeah, Pluto, of course, is one of those sort of things which obviously is a theme through the program. Maybe I should have asked, you know, the Disney Corporation to see if we can actually have the classic Pluto.
Actually, we should have used the Pluto on the cover, but we didn't.
Yeah, well, sometimes you just have to sort of avoid the obvious, you know, otherwise the aficionados
get
very concerned and they say, what's happening?
Exactly.
Jessica. Any thoughts from yourself? I mean, have you ever been as far? Is it presumably, let me just get this straight, from North Carolina to Idaho, you're talking northwest?
More west, as opposed to northwest. Geography is not the best.
Anyway, any thoughts that you'd like to share with Jim at present?
I was reading on your webpage, it says that you've traveled around the world.
I have traveled around the world.
Has that kind of influenced how you see literature, I guess, getting to maybe see different ways of writing and reading throughout the world?
Different ways of writing, for sure. But I, you know, most of my travels were with the military. So, you know, the little time you get to read, it's usually somebody's used paperback that was laying around in somebody's bunk.
Yeah.
So...
The boy lay perfectly still as the doctor fidgeted with his right leg. The rattlesnake bite had ravaged his lower leg and become septic with the poison. As the doctor felt around the ruined flesh, he stole looks at the boy's mother, standing somewhat behind and wringing a piece of towel, torn for this visit. The medical certainties of a snake bite were extremely limited in 1863, even after his mother sucking out a good deal of the poison.
Right.
Not my words. Your words, Jim.
That's the opening to Jefferson's Chant.
Exactly. You see, we like to do our research on this program and work our way through that. 1863. So we're actually talking right in the middle of the Civil War, unless I'm off base there. 1861.
Correct.
You wouldn't think I'm going to be giving a lecture to American Studies students on Friday about sort of the history of radio and various other things, but it just goes to show. 1863. I mean, I used to think the American Civil War was centuries ago, but it's actually still actually just generations. I mean, we were talking actually this morning with a group of students about our First World War is great-great-grandparents from the current generation.
Correct.
So, you know, you add a couple of generations on there and you've still got the Civil War. I mean, in Carolina, is there still a sort of sense of the wrong side won?
There is a bit of, I guess there's some tension sometimes from the history. People still remember it,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you see, you should never have actually sort of left Britain. That's the key thing. It was 1776. If that Declaration of Independence hadn't started.
Different
conversation. Well, you know... The British tried to get involved in our civil war, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to stick our oar in and then we leave. You know, we do that with Europe.
Well,
you know,
of course.
We work there and then we step away. You know, as Phil Leonis in Los Angeles would say, you know, you paved the way for Brexit with your first sort of 1776 sort of scenario. So great stuff.
Well, 1776.
Yeah. The spirit of. We've had a bicentenary and all sorts of things. Talk to us. I mean, I suspect, obviously, being set in 1863, you're talking very much as Jefferson's Chance Western, a Western genre set within the sort of Western culture, which in itself is full of mythologies.
It is. Well, it's full of Westerns. Yeah. And actually, the story itself takes place in about 1876 or 7. Jefferson has grown into a man, and he's not able to join the Texas Rangers because he has a wooden leg. Hmm. So he enlists the aid of Thomas Griffith, who designed the Waco Suspension Bridge in 1870, to design him a new leg that will act like a new leg, act like a real leg, and he does. And he's accepted in the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, the noise there wasn't somebody actually detaching their leg. It was actually a little bit of nasal clearance. There's nothing like it. You know, it's a bit of British nasal clearance. It works. It works every sense of the word. I told you, Jeff, most rancho owners are a lazy lot, especially one named Estevez Rialto, said Caleb, looking down at a sleeping Estevez. Estevez rolled in his blankets and peeked from the edge to see two men standing looking at him. Sitting up and rubbing his eyes, Estevez looked the two men over. Well, hell, Cabron, ain't nice to bother a man when he's sleeping. Sorry, I was channeling my inner sort of Western there. It's just like, and of course, the classic, sleeping is one thing, Rialto, but you were snoring like you was enjoying it too much. Obviously, wanted to keep a nasal reference there. You know, just sort of, so, well done, marvellous.
Right.
Emily, any other sort of lines you'd like to share with Jim? Are you still recovering from my...
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm a little bit of shock.
Where's he going? Just those words, you know?
No, I do have a few questions in regards to the books you've written. So, is it 11 you've done novels?
I'm sorry?
Is it 11 novels you've done?
Oh, I've done... this is Jefferson's Chance is my 15th.
Mm. Oh, my God, so you've done 15. Okay, so with your novels, are all of them following the same sort of genre, or have you dipped into different genres yourself, or is it all kind of westernized novels?
Well, they are all westerns, but they are all historical.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that sounds good. And do they sequel one another, or are they all kind of different storylines?
They're about 12 of them are the same, mm-hmm. are the same characters. They're in a series. And then the other three, there's two standalones. That would be Jonah Blue and Jefferson's Chance, and then Bugles in the Sun.
Mm. See, I vary with genres, but it's definitely something I'd be interested in reading, because sometimes I dip out of all different genres. I don't know if you're the same, but when it comes to reading, I dip in and out of all different, so it'd be something that I'd be interested in reading.
I'm thinking, with the auspices of Mickey Mickelson and indeed your good self, Jim, maybe we can actually look to a situation where you have a mashup, where you actually have a situation whereby the chin-up, chest-out girl actually gets in a time machine and ends up in Jefferson's Land, and we see, can she cope with that? Yeah? You know, you get Miranda O thinking about that.
Alex, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Do you know, sometimes you've got to think outside the box. If you've got to go to Pluto, you've got to actually pass Saturn first.
Well,
so, you know.
First of all, I think Mickey would have a coronary.
Well, if he's listening to this, don't relax. Cardio, CPR.
Yeah, going beyond that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, the girl in Chin Up, Chest Out, she's a different cat of a different color.
Yeah, but I bet she'd suck snake bite out with the best of them, basically. You know, given her chance, you know, she'd cope with that snake bite. You know, it's just a thought. But...
Right.
Anyway,
she could suck the poison
exactly,
out.
Exactly. It's what we need. Kira, now that you've cleared your nose.
Sorry about that, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
No,
exactly. You're right in front of my microphone. It's got to go. It's the Scottish background in you. Any questions?
I do actually, Jim. Do you know how, obviously, you're the host of the Writer's Block programme? So for any aspiring writers out there, how would you tell them or give advice to them about dealing with writer's block? Because, I mean, me especially when I'm writing, it's a bit different, but when I'm writing essays, I literally don't know how to, like, to make the words come out of my mouth sometimes. So how would you...
Use a pen.
Mm-hmm. I know that. But how would you, you know, advise writers to overcome writing?
Well, I'll tell you what I tell new writers, and our show, The Writer's Block, is geared towards new writers. So we tell them always, write your story. Write your story. It can be fixed. Anything can be fixed. That's why editors exist. Yeah. But get your story out.
There we are, Jessica.
And it doesn't have to be 1,200 pages. It can be 100 pages. Doesn't matter.
Catherine, write your story. You know, the tale of the unfairness of a science fiction tutor who insisted on actually sort of picking on minority. Just go for it. Write that story. Emily, likewise.
Write it.
Yep, just write it.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's good or not. Your first story is never going to be good.
But you got to write. If you're going to be a writer, you got
to
write.
But you have to write it.
Yeah. Jim,
And you always learn as you go, so keep doing it. Keep writing, keep writing, keep writing. That's the best advice I can give.
How can people locate... I mean, actually, Emily, you can say, how did you locate Jim Christina and Writer's Block on LA Talk Radio?
I literally went onto Google and just typed it in. It was the first thing that came up.
That's all you need.
There you go.
You see, it's as simple as that. You know, no worry. Type into that whole search engine thingy. Type in Jim Christina, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, and indeed wonderful things will happen. Jim, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
I have absolutely enjoyed every second of it.
And actually, we need to turn once again to Jessica. You haven't been as far. Oh, you've been to Los Angeles, but you haven't. So you would have flown over Iowa.
Yeah, I went right over it.
You wouldn't ride over it. Exactly. So why? Just turn it around. Why should Jim? I mean, Jim, have you been to North Carolina?
Oh yeah, my daughter lives there.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You see? So now, Jessica, you're going to dig a little deeper. Where exactly in North Carolina?
She lives up by Greensboro.
Oh, fantastic! That's not too far from me.
You see. This is making your daughter friends by linking up with England exchange students and
so on. Actually, my sister-in-law lives in High Point.
High Point, okay. Mm. I'm from Charlotte.
There you are.
Oh, okay. Well, that's about, 120 miles away?
Yeah, about.
It's literally less than the distance from Lincoln, England to London, the capital of Great Britain.
Alex. I wouldn't know.
Exactly. But I feel as though we've opened it up. Will you return, Jim? Will you come back and join us again in the very near future?
I would absolutely just love to. Anytime I'm invited, I'll be there.
Excellent. Round of applause for Jim Christina, please. And meanwhile, from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid...
Just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed. Nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun. And I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job. Are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me. A rain falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me.
So what does William Coles do when he decides to go up to base camp Nepal? Well, he only finds a fashion show and actually sort of sees one of the world's highest fashion shows there. I mean, honestly, Bill Coles, is there nothing you won't do in your endless search to actually get more dramatic work for your writing and various other bits and pieces? Welcome to the Midweek Drive. Welcome back home, Bill Coles.
Nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
Mm. Two new voices for you since... I don't know, Jessica, have you spoken to William Coles before?
No, not yet.
No, exactly. So for a newbie, Jessica from Charlottesville, just outside Charlottesville. Or,
I'm like 15 minutes outside the epicenter of Charlotte.
15 minutes outside the epicenter of Charlotte. Jesus. And also new on the show today, Catherine Dove from Stevenage.
Hello there.
Yeah, English undergraduate. We've got Emily Boston, of course, back with us.
Hi.
Oh, the fun thing she's been getting up to in so many ways. I think, Emily, were you there before Bill left us to go off to Nepal? No, probably not, because you hadn't realised the show had started again, basically.
No, yeah, I don't think whatever.
Sorry. Kira, of course, we know Kira, yes. Straight on from that point of view. So what have you been getting up to, William Coles? Now we've got four fabulous Madrid drivettes, agog, quite literally, with the kind of stuff that you're actually all about here in terms of novelist extraordinaire and all-round wonderful writer.
Well, I've been blundering up to Everest Base Camp, and on the way, I happened upon the world's highest fashion show. And these about 17 top models had been walking for about a week to Everest Base Camp, and then a little bit higher, to perform on this catwalk. And I made it to the show with about 5 minutes to spare.
Now, I mean, there are people, and I suppose Edmund Hillary being one of them, who might have thought, you know, when you actually go up to, you know, climb the world's highest mountain and deal with any pollution, etc., up there, you wouldn't necessarily be accepting fashion or expecting fashion from that point of view. Let me just test this. I mean, Emily, would you be checking out the Nepalese fashion and say, I want to be there?
No, I mean, if I stumbled upon it, I'd probably go to it, but I don't think it's something I'd look out for.
When
no.
You're doing your mountain range wandering, yeah. Obviously, from that point of view. So that's the sort of thing. Kira, what about yourself?
I don't know. I like an adventure. You know, a good old week walk to get to a fashion show.
Yeah, that's a good
quite
old.
Exciting, yeah.
How far up did you actually go, William? I mean, did you a whole lot?
Base camp is 5,300 metres, and the fashion show was about 5,600 metres.
Mm. So you felt it was worth it to make that extra sort of line for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody else would believe it. It's the whole thing. The concept is ludicrous.
People would have said it's CGI. It's trick photography. It can't possibly be real. It's definitely there.
Exactly, and
presumably, whilst the talk was presumably about Coriolanus, there, well-known Shakespeare play. I was thinking of the coronavirus. We just love it. You know, easily confused. You pick up a copy of Shakespeare, you go down with the flu. Unbelievable.
No, they weren't talking about the coronavirus at all. There's only one person has had it in Nepal. There's quite a big barrier called the Himalayas between Nepal and China. So I think they're pretty safe.
But let's face it, the Dalai Lama is still actually trying to find a home to rest his head these days. It has been for the last few decades, but never mind. Let's not get into Chinese politics. They've got enough challenges already. Catherine, any questions you'd like to put to Bill?
I'm just quite concerned about the models, like how would they model their kind of winter clothing? I imagine you'd need something very warm and fashionable to get a catwalk that high up.
Yeah, the clothes have been designed by a Nepali woman and made in Kathmandu, and they knew all about it. They were made of cashmere and yak hair. They looked pretty warm, although it was so cold on the catwalk. I think it was about minus 11 that a lot of the models were wearing gloves.
And I see, actually, it is your byline on the Lifestyle 11th of February piece that we've actually sort of connected with here. So genuinely maintaining your journalistic credentials, Bill. I'm very impressed.
Well, yeah, and it takes a lot to impress you as well.
You know that from my time up in Edinburgh earlier this year, you know? I mean, you show me all these death marks, say, yeah. What about the Nepalese fashion people? Let's focus on that. So this is the critical side of things.
Yeah, that story that I wrote for the Herald, it's odd. There's one comment, and that comment comes from one of the models who was a Miss Universe contender.
Yes, and the comment actually basically...
She's a fan. I haven't had many fans who were Miss Universes before.
Yeah, I thought I'd actually clicked on the comment, but obviously I haven't. I thought it actually worked. Oh, never mind. It was only you. Can you remember what the comment actually said, or is it just a case of we'll just have to...
What a great writer. You're my new favourite writer. You know, just stuff like that. Yeah. All perfectly normal.
That's right. Yeah. On the flip side, at least I was one of 43 people who actually liked it, so that's nice. anyway, it's all good. You used to be Washington correspondent for News International, so therefore I think it's only right that Jessica Burtis has a chance to actually throw in a few questions.
Thank you. I'm actually reading your article right now. Mm. It's really fascinating, and you say that you've traveled to shows and places, or gone to places like the Sahara, too?
But if you see the Himalayas, well, they're eye-popping. I mean, the views are incredible. It's like, yes, I'm afraid the views, the Himalayas knock Scotland, the Highlands, into a cocked hat.
Wow. Interesting.
But anyway, interestingly, when I was in Kathmandu, I saw a living goddess, the Kumari Bhai, and she is picked when she's quite young, about 4 or 5, and she lives in this palace in Kathmandu.
She already, the powers are sort of taking away from us, you know. She's mentioned living goddess, we're going to go away, we're going to take you away from that whole system. So a bit like the Dalai Lama, then. You're basically sort of the chosen one, sort of you, and then you're basically, you are the picked individual. Amazing.
Yes, exactly like that, yeah. Except she loses the job when she has her first period.
That's a bit harsh. I'm just saying, it's a bit harsh.
I mean,
yeah. I was going to talk about you being caught in a car. Set him free! Set him free now! We haven't got time because we've got news from the Sky News Centre coming up. Actually, it's not from the Sky News Centre. It's from next door. It's from the Siren News team. That's panicking them. You know, they can say, whoa, where are they going from? It's all right, got 30 seconds. Just enough time for Kira to ask you those last two questions.
Yes. So, Will, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
You said the whole time.
I think the goddess is there.
And will you return?
Yes, next week, please.
Yay, excellent. And don't get caught in the car, it's just too much, you know. Kira will actually continue to actually deal with her flu bugs as we head to the Siren News from the Siren News team, the time being 5:45. Thank you so much, Brittany. That was so wonderful. Actually, the sports reporter there, doing wonderful things in all sorts of ways, could have actually asked me, because I was at that game last night, my first ever Lincoln City match. I went with Owen Clayton, actually. We were both, doing a whole thing. Yes, and a little bit worried when, obviously, MK Dons took the lead. A little bit worried. But Lincoln actually rallied strongly and could have actually been 3-1 up at half-time. Then it kind of went after fashion. Tessa, what can I say? I mean, you know, there are people who have actually had the Chinese water torture, who's actually had that sort of thing. So that. Sorry, Brittany, it's a different sort of line from that. It's great, marvellous. Although I think it's Storm Kira. It's wonderful. They've probably turned the microphones off now, what they?
Storm Dennis, Storm Kira.
It's just not on from that point of view. Love Machine. I wasn't sure what to expect when I hear Girls Aloud and a cover version. You know, because, I mean, we get used to, over the years, hearing, you know, the awesomeness of Sarah and Cheryl and, you know, that kind of start off and they're doing the whole thing and, you know, Sarah Harding and Nadine and, who am I starting? Oh, yes.
Sarah?
Yeah. Who can forget Cheryl? Oh. Yeah, exactly. You know, Cheryl, Nadine, great. Anyway, we're not playing the Girls Aloud version. We're playing a cover version because it's a brand spanking new version, which has an interesting start, which is your tune of the week. This is going to actually go down very well in Wales. I don't know. Would you like to explain why you've gone for this? By some good favourites from your own show, of course, Sound and Country Vision.
Yeah, so it's very, very different. So the Rye being a Northern Irish duo who I featured on my show many, many times and on the Midweek Drive, they brought out a new single, which you quite rightly said is the cover of the classic Girls Aloud tune, Love Machine.
Not sure when you use classic, it can be used in classic in the same sense that we had Build Me Up Buttercup earlier. I mean, because that, as we'd say, if he's still actually listening, Alan Warner, that is classic. Love Machine, Girls Aloud, I don't know, Sound of the Underground, perhaps. Have you ever heard of Girls Aloud in the States, by the way?
I have not. Oh, isn't that bad? Oh, no. What have I done?
Britain has finally not managed to export Sarah Harding, Nadine and company over the Atlantic Ocean. Anyway, so carry on then, Tessa. Why are we about to be amazed by the next 3 minutes, 21 seconds?
Well, you'll definitely recognise it, but there's some banjos and cowbells in there, as expected, as it is a country tune. And it's out on the 21st of Feb, but you can pre-save it on Spotify now. And this is very, very important for independent artists. And I know that the Rising, they're always trying to promote this for independent artists. But pre-saving on Spotify is better than downloading and even buying now, because it's all about the numbers. So, yeah.
Well, let's just test the waters. Clearly, Jessica, you haven't got any idea what to expect at all.
No.
Kira, I can tell you're a bit worried, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Banjos and other things, yeah. Catherine?
I'm quite excited, really, to see what they've done with Girls Aloud's masterpiece.
And Emily?
I'm actually really excited because I loved Girls Aloud when I was younger. So, I'm intrigued.
This could be Kill or Cure in many ways. Yeah. Okay, it's The Rising. Is it The Rising?
Yep, it
is The Rising. And Love
it
Machine. From upcoming shows, specifically tomorrow morning. Kira might be pleased about this. David Fox is with us tomorrow morning. Magic on the radio. Yay! Always very exciting. Okay, The Rising have left the studio, at least electronically. Tessa's still online. So what did you make of that, Catherine Dove?
I was surprised, actually. I quite liked it. I think it was... It sounded very similar, so initially it was a bit jarring, but yeah, I think it picked up a lot.
Okay.
I like it.
Picked up. Kira?
Right, okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm so sorry, Tessa, in advance, but I didn't... I don't know, it just... I liked the beat, but like we were saying, the person sounds the exact same as all of the Girls Aloud.
She's lost her Irish accent. She's lost her inner Nadine Kyle.
It wasn't the same. I didn't know.
Emily?
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement. The tempo was very much the same. I thought it was going to be like an adaptation. It was going to be slow or maybe something a bit different. But to me, it just sounded the same. I still liked it because I love Girls Aloud. But I thought it was going to be very different to
what
it was.
More than Saturdays? More than Little Mix?
I mean, that's debatable.
These are critical questions. And Never Experience Girls Aloud. And but you should give thanks to the Lord for that, actually. Any folk would actually say. Jessica, your thoughts?
Well, I've never heard the original, but I liked this one. It was pretty upbeat. I didn't get much cowbell, but it was pretty good.
Up next, Jeanette Byrne, Women of the One World. We'll be talking about her wonderful tribute. It's her fourth album that she's releasing on the 27th of March this very year. Next week, Tessa, I'll get you excited now. Claire Margerison will be joining us again.
I have not spoken to Claire for ages.
Well, there we are.
That'll be good.
She might not be in the studio. It might be telephone, so, you know, who knows what could happen on that basis. Maybe it's Skype. Okay. We don't know these days. but, Emily, last two questions for Tessa, please.
Tessa, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I certainly have.
And will you be joining us next week?
I will be with another track of the week.
And here's Jeanette Byrne. RTE Radio 1's presenter Derek Mooney is fantastic, absolutely wonderful. Women of the One World's title track from her fourth album, Jeanette Byrne. Jeanette, with us now live from the Republic of Ireland. Whereabouts are we reaching you today, Jeanette?
Well, actually, I'm sort of travelling, so I'm not in Dublin. Oh. I'm across the Atlantic, believe it or not.
So you're in America?
Just off America, yeah.
Just off America? Are you in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? Sure. Do we have to send out flares? Where exactly are
almost.
You?
Yeah. I'm actually in the Caribbean at the moment on a family trip, so I'm very privileged to visiting some friends with my family, so... Just taking a bit of a break before back into the swing of things.
Exactly. And let's face it, Jeanette, when you've been working as hard as you are, you need a family trip in the Caribbean.
I'd recommend it for all.
Terrible. Yeah, exactly. It's very important. Talk to us, Jeanette, about Women of the One World. I mean, we've been listening to various other tracks, and I've got another one coming up in a few moments. You really seem to have selected some great sort of tunes from Joan Baez, from Sandy Denny, Jodie Collins, Laura Nyro, of course, Buffy St. Marie from that point of view. Yeah. What was the idea of this? Because, you know, back in 1998, your first EP, Une Femme, was voted one of the top five records of the year by the Irish Times. You also followed that with Elegy, and then your 2005 album, Café Diva. So I'm getting a wonderful sense of chillaxing and other things coming across there.
Sure. I think I love, historically, going back and reinventing or reinterpreting old songs from the 20th century. Of course, we've moved on. And I always have sort of sung anything from jazz through to the classic French chanson. And I've been looking at doing Joan Baez, Sandy Denny for a long time because, as you know, 11, 12-year-olds with your guitar in your bedroom, you know, you play all these folk songs. I really felt the last couple of years I was looking for a project that I was re-looking at all my favorite musicians from when I was, you know, a child and a teenager. And it was very hard to decide who I was going to do, so I decided to do them all and put them on this album.
Makes sense.
That was the inspiration, really.
Okay, let's open it up to the team. Jessica, any thoughts for yourself?
The name of your album, Women of the One World, it sounds very unifying. Is there, what's the significance behind that name?
There is. So I was researching, so it was all about women, women in music, and particularly women who had empowered other women through different movements. I was inspired really by the 2018 centenary of women getting the vote in the UK and Ireland. And I was looking at being part of this global network of women, and I just thought I wanted to do something that was women-inspired and inspiring women. So looking at Laura Nyro, I just came across this track she did live. It was never recorded. And I just thought that has to be the title, just the lines. It's just all about women. We are the teachers. We are the moon dreamers. You know, and it's unifying. That's what women of the one world. And we only have this one world. There's also that whole, I feel, ecological threat, obviously, that's been going on. And as a mum with, you know, now my kids are grown up, I sort of wonder what sort of future we're about to leave our kids. So there was a lot going on in the whole concept of why I chose that name. It just was right.
Mm. Emily.
Yeah, I love the idea that it's inspired by influential women. I'm just wondering if on the album there's one song that you feel you have a real connection with. Is there a favourite that when you kind of recorded it, you thought, yeah, I'm really happy with this song?
I think the Sandy Denny All Our Days just encompasses everything. It'll probably never get played unless somebody wants to go off, a DJ wants to go off and have a long coffee break. It just sums up history and the world. You know, it's got the folky pastoral sense, the English ballads, just life, and as you move through life and time, a lot of the songs have that element, the cycle of life, and it continues on generation to generation. I think Kian, who worked with me on the album, did some absolutely magnificent orchestration. And that's the track we're actually filming a long video to at the moment. So I think that would be, because it's different and was just something I had to do. So I think that would be a standout. Others I just love. They're songs I've always wanted to do, and I'm privileged to be able to go and do them.
Universal themes of life, love and loss, eternally beautifully composed. And of course they are obviously eternal themes. Catherine.
Just building off of what you were talking about with the orchestration of it, I read, was it a 40-piece orchestra that was used? Yeah, what was that like, coordinating that and kind of handing over your stylistic kind of dreams with that?
Yeah, so I trusted Kian, I've known him for years, and he has a studio in town, but we decided to do, rather than take the project off and just hire an orchestra abroad, which you can do, we wanted it very organic. So we split it up into days with strings, brass, woodwinds, and obviously we set it down with the rhythm section when we did the shape of the songs initially, after Kian and I had to come up with how we wanted to attack the final choice of songs. So it was just spectacular being in there with all these wonderful musicians from all our top orchestras, having these sessions and sitting with them. I did guide vocals, and then we'd come back and do the vocals after listening to how, in fact, the arrangements had worked. It was just—it's just been wonderful, a dream come true. Obviously, to perform it is another thing. I'll have to get an orchestra together, and hopefully, we will get that later in the year.
We look forward to welcoming you back to IIT London on the 26th of March. It's Thursday, 26th of March. Album launch party at the Court in Soho. Awesome, and definitely look forward to that. We're going to wrap up, actually, this particular thing with Who Knows Where the Time Goes, because I don't know. It just scoots out in all sorts of ways. But Kira, any thoughts from yourself?
All I was going to ask is, what are you working on next? What do you think your next big project is going to be?
Album number five. We need more, Jeanette. We need more.
Well, this has taken me a long time to get together because, you know, family interferes. You've got kids, you've got, they're growing up, and, you know, we've got parents who are ill and stuff. So, like many women, you jump in and jump out of things as you can. So at the moment, I really just want to perform this and get some orchestras together and just enjoy it, because it's just an absolute labour of love. And I just want to say, originally, I am London-born, Southsider, Dulwich girl, so I'm delighted to be talking to you today.
Well, Jeanette, the early broadcasting career of my good self started in Radio Dulwich, so it just shows the old connections are there. Dulwich College, we still connect with, so it's all there.
Oh, fab. Yeah, so I remember it well.
Yeah, and particularly, actually, when you sort of headed down into the... let's share thoughts, because the Lincoln audience don't appreciate what we're talking about. It's a different line entirely. Jeanette, it's been awesome sharing some of the good, some thoughts with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Fantastic, and really, thank you very much for your questions and for your interest in the album. It's wonderful, and I hope this is the start now of relaunching it in London, where I am. Actually, I spend a lot of time, so
absolutely.
I'll be there a lot over the next year.
Well, we'll certainly
thank you very much.
Through Jeanette Byrne. A round of applause, please, for Jeanette Byrne. And as I said, who knows where the time goes?
Thanks so much.
Deserted shore, your fickle friends are leaving. Other than you know, it's time for them to go.
Hi, this is Mike Dooley from Tut.com. I'm thrilled to be in the UK, and I'm thrilled to be part of the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
And we are thrilled beyond measure to actually have you back on the Midweek Drive. Mike Dooley, welcome back after a time. It's been too long. Who knows where the time goes, Mike Dooley?
It's all an illusion, Alex, but I'm glad we found each other again.
Traced in material existence. I know already there have been yelps of joy and excitement from Robin Pearce in Wales, because he found your contribution last year so impressive. He signed up to Tut.com. He's worked through that. A matter of 2 days ago, we have an awesome American exchange student here who's been working with Jessica Burtis from North Carolina. Gave her a copy of Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dreams. And your thoughts, Jessica?
I liked it. I was focusing on this section that was kind of talking about getting back on track. Mm. And I really love the thoughts there about being in the present and dealing with what's going on right now. It's very insightful.
Yeah.
Jessica.
I mean, now let's get the geography right. Mike, are you in Florida at present, or have you moved even further south?
No, we're back in Florida for the time being.
Okay. Technically, then, North Carolina, quite literally north of Florida, then.
Yeah, we're like, we have one state between us. Well, two, actually, South Carolina and Georgia.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, I suppose, you know, it could easily be overcome if you wish, you know, South Carolina and Georgia, and move through that. We've been working through this thing earlier in the program, Mike. We were dealing with Iowa. We've got Los Angeles to come. So it's gradually the midweek drive in Lincoln, England, and not Nebraska, obviously, connecting the world, much as you do with Tut.com, really. It's great.
That's living your dreams. That's what we try to do.
Yeah, well, we wish you belated birthday greetings. I do this every year. I forget, you know, I see this about Mike's birthday, our Lord, but then your time is there. We, in addition to Jessica, we've got three fabulous souls with us. We have Emily Boston, Kira Osbrook, and Catherine Dove. Emily.
Yes, hi. I looked at your website earlier, Mike, and I'm just really interested on the whole meaning behind it. I know there's a lot of stuff about the idea that life is magical. And it seems it is, Emily. I know.
Speaking to somebody on the other side of the planet.
And it seemed really inspiring. I want to know the reasoning behind why you kind of started the website up.
Well, Kira, right?
No, Emily.
Emily. Okay. Emily, I've always felt my whole life that that there was more to what was going on than we've been told. And there's been attempts by science, and there's been attempts by religion, but science hasn't gone as far as it could, and everybody knows it's reinventing itself every day. And religion, I think, is pretty understood in the circles I hang out with, not to offend anybody, is kind of man-made, with noble intent. So that begs the question, Emily, what's the truth, and who are we, and why are we here? And lo and behold, if you ask these questions, you start assimilating, attracting, and finding answers. And the first question is, how could my answers be right over somebody else's answers? It's like, you know, it's not about being right. I think we find truth when we come to an idea that either speaks of life's beauty or speaks of our power, period, done. And it leaves nobody behind. So suddenly there's a whole nother paradigm here to only look for what's beautiful and only see our power. And when you train your thinking that way, as is common with a gratitude journal, perhaps you all have heard of that, it's like a muscle, and you see more beauty, and you feel more powerful, and you see the good everywhere. You feel more love. And to cut to the chase, Emily, my worldview, and I'm not nearly alone here, is that we are all of God, by God, pure God, and not a God of religion, but a God that is here for the joy of it, for the love of it, for the adventure of it, hence Tut's Adventurers Club. And when you clue in a little bit more, you can see that there is something to the old adage of positive thinking. Why would there be a power to positive thinking? Because it's in alignment with the truth. When you think thoughts that are in alignment with truth, like life is beautiful, people are awesome, those thoughts gain momentum quicker than thoughts that are negative, and hence the law of attraction, etc. So all of a sudden, there's legs under the table. There's kind of a meaning to life. There's a reason for life. And we find that we're at the helm of our ship with the ability to chart a new adventure by thinking new thoughts. Thoughts become things.
It's just whilst we were speaking there, Mike, turning to page 147 on the line, if you're still here, you're still worthy, jumped out at kind of almost another line of Richard Bach and his classic line that I often use myself. If you're still here, it means your mission on the planet hasn't finished. It's very important. Catherine,
so good.
Any thoughts from yourself?
You speak a lot about the idea of love and kind of training it as a muscle. I'm just wondering, coming up to Valentine's Day, what are your thoughts on love, be it like within relationships?
Love,
but also,
don't pay no bills? Sorry.
but also like kind of loving oneself if you're kind of single this Valentine's Day.
Well, human love is a funny and many-splendored thing. Then there's divine love, which I think we can all aspire to, which is unconditional and is not, you know, so needy. if I may say.
And human beings can be so needy, let's face it. Me. We don't know the whole thing. It's just, ease back, pull back a bit.
Yeah, so I think with Valentine's Day, it's always an invitation to, you know, be the love, be the spark. It doesn't have to be in an intimate relationship with one particular person in the world. I mean, there are so many people worthy of our attention and so many worthy of our love that need not be, of the holding hands variety, but, you know, a smile to a stranger, helping somebody cross the street, making it possible for your neighbor to buy a computer. On and on and on and on. And I've led a very selfish life, and I think there is a virtue to selfishness. I've always felt, and my mother, who's British, ascribed to the notion you've got to take care of business at home before you can be any help in the world. And I've done that, and I've taken care of business at home. I live a really incredible dream come true life, and I've got plenty of money, plenty of love, a wife, a daughter. All happened rather late in my...
It happens, Mike. That's we take those stays and those baby steps forward and magic will take place. That's the kind of critical routine. Incidentally, people are wondering, no, Mike, he's knocked down with no, it's not going to happen. Positive thoughts go through from that. Because actually there was a reverse a few years ago where I actually I was unable to go to Manchester for all sorts of other bits and pieces. But Kira, any thoughts from yourself?
I do, actually. I was reading one of your blogs, Mike, on happiness and the actual secret to it. And it was all about, if you have a vision, kind of follow it and pursue it and all of that kind of stuff. So what actually made you write a blog on happiness and what you think is happiness?
Oh, that's a great question.
You just have to look at the President of the United States. You've got to write about happiness, otherwise what's going to happen?
Oh, my gosh. So happiness, I teach to audiences literally all over the world, is the ultimate end result. And people very often think my message is about, me. And to a degree it is, because you can't be of service to the world, as I said, if you haven't taken care of business at home. But when you do take care of yourself, you will find eventually that your newest and highest dreams become more and more that to help other people, more and more selfless, if you will. But I would never advocate starting a journey selflessly. Maybe it can be done, but I think you'd be pretty miserable and you'd be not much help to the people you loved around you. So I think happiness is the ultimate end result.
And we're not going to keep you on the line too much longer, so we need to work our way through this process. But just turning very briefly to Jessica, the whole notion of the co-creator, the co-creation of things. Anything you'd like to sort of close with, Jessica, from your own thoughts about your own experiences in kind of traveling, obviously from the States to Ireland and then England and so on, Lincoln and so on?
Well, I think it kind of mirrors the name of your book, of Infinite Possibilities. You co-create what's going to happen, and I think that's a really good aspect to keep in mind.
I'd also actually give a little plug for a favourite, despite the title, which is a little unusual, but Top 10 Things Dead People Want to Tell You. Well worth going for. Just literally check out tut.com. More fantastic things will be there. Mike, as we said, it's been far too long since we featured you, and this time around you're not on 100% peak form, so we're going to put that right pretty much immediately. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today? Has it been okay for yourself? It's okay.
It has been fabulous. I feel better than I did before the call began. Well, thank you.
That's what we're about. Earlier, Kira was blowing her nose on air, so back to yourself. So we're sharing mucus. Sharing mucus across the Atlantic in a kind of strange and wonderful, bizarre way. But can we look forward to featuring you again in the very near future? Will you come back and connect with us, Mike?
I would be delighted. Thank you so much for having me and for your patience, everybody.
Hey, Mike, we've known each other for a good number of decades. Well, 20 at least. So not 20 decades, maybe centuries. I don't know. It just seems like, seems like that. Round of applause for Mike Dooley, please.
Thank you, everybody.
Concerto. Oh well. Previously on the Midweek Drives, Zoe James of Adventures, we were worried. We were worried because we called her and she wasn't answering. She was not answering because she was in surgery. Not her surgery for our foot, surely. We don't know. Zoe Jameson, how's the foot? How's the training? How's the animals?
Yes, all good, thank you. My foot and ankle are back, so I've been back running this week.
Excellent.
Thankfully, the surgery was not mine.
Of course, though, when she says her foot and ankle are back, she doesn't just take them off and get them repaired and then put back on again. You know, she's just fantastic. So we're on target for the London Marathon then?
Yeah, well, we're back in the game.
You're back, yeah. Zoe, I never thought you'd be out of the game. You've got the whole midweek dive team going you from that point of view. So excellent stuff. We have a newbie in the studio. We have Catherine Dove with us. Catherine, who has just managed to survive 90 minutes of the midweek drive, and she hasn't run screaming for the hills saying, let me out of here, let me out of here.
Not yet, anyway.
So there we are. And obviously from the delightful world of North Carolina, effectively Jessica's just chilling out on the whole side of things. Debrett's Peerage is actually joining us tomorrow. We have Catherine Lewis from Debrett's talking about how bad grammar, misspelling and poor punctuation are a bugbear for nearly 40% of users according to Messenger from Facebook. More than a fifth use the Queen's English rather than colloquialisms for their opening gambit, while only 10% try their hand at standing out with a memorable meme. So interesting one of that. And of course Magic will be on air as well tomorrow. But tell us, what are you getting up to at present, please, as a co-creator and veterinary student from the Royal Veterinary College, Zoe Jameson?
Well, this week I'm actually back at university, mm-hmm. And I've got a week of tracking in cardiology.
Ooh. Now, does that mean you're kind of hunting out hearts, which is very good for Valentine's Day, really? So, look, you know, is that... have they got a pulse? Are they living? That's the first thing. You go on that basis.
Yeah,
I would have thought so. Otherwise, we'd be going down all sorts of strange rabbit holes, which we don't want to proceed. And are we still sticking with horses' hearts here? Is that the important thing?
Oh, no, not this week, actually.
Oh.
We're doing cats and dogs.
Wow. Well, you know your best friend Kira, of course, who kind of stunned us earlier this year with respect to the personal orientation of her particular pet, whose name, of course, is Zippy. Mm-hmm. And Zippy, of course, is what breed of canine?
A Labrador.
A Labrador. Retriever. Question?
He's 2 years old.
Two years
he's
old.
He's going to be three soon. Yeah. And his little kiwi fruits are going to get cut soon as well. So we have... I'm not going to say what it is.
Yeah, that's quite all right.
You know what male dogs have dangling.
Of course.
Won't go any further than that.
The dog danglers, basically.
A dog dangler.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. So Zoe, is there anything I need to keep out for with...
high-pitched barks, perhaps?
With them getting chopped soon. You know, is there any change in behaviour or anything?
No pressure, Zoe, but this is an entire sort of life-changing events that Zippy's been faced with.
Owner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not you that's having the surgery.
I suppose, well, hopefully their behaviour doesn't change too much, mm-hmm. But yeah, is he enjoying life with them at the minute?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just erratic. He's just
hormonal.
At it with everything.
Maybe
so.
He needs some behavioural change. Is it?
Yes.
Tough call.
It's fluffy things, it does it.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My teddy bears is one thing.
Oh, no. Knows.
Sounds as though it could be a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. Over to Jessica. You have a pet?
Yes, I have a cat, Tom, yeah. Major Tom.
Of course. And Major Tom, has he been neutered?
Yeah, he has. Right. So we won't have kittens anytime soon.
No. And Catherine, any pets in the Stevenage base?
Yes, I have a Border Terrier called Alfie. And no, he is still intact.
He's still
as
intact.
They say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, is there a difference between your Labradors and your Terriers in terms of, or is it just a case of it's at the owner's whim? You know, if they start going for the soft furnishings, it's time to whip them off. Is that a line?
Yeah, I think that's the theory, really.
Oh. Excellent. Emily.
Yes, I actually have a Labrador as well, but she is a girl and she's about 14 now. She's called Annie, so she's a lot older. So, yeah, she used to be very lively and jumpy, but now she's a lot more calm and a bit more lazy, to be honest, because she's older. So
it has so many delightful things. I really don't know where to start. But we will be finding out very shortly, on a slightly different note, Zoe, where the link will be so people can actually sponsor you for this London Marathon, because otherwise Robin will be saying, where can we sponsor you? And all the rest of bits and pieces, that'll be coming out. We need to move rapidly over to Los Angeles, because I know Phil's got bones to pick with me with respect to... He claims that he actually won the contest of prediction routines. Well, actually, if I just use the ones that were he hasn't actually, he got six. Although he claims he got 15, that's because we didn't look at all the categories. Anyway, could end in tears. Jessica, last two questions for Zoe, please.
Zoe, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, yes.
Fantastic. And will you be joining us again?
Yes, hopefully next week.
Yay! Earlier in the programme, we actually found the shocking news that Girls Aloud hadn't made it to North Carolina, at least as a collective combo, so to speak. What were your views on Style Council, Jessica? Had they crossed the boat?
I don't
cross the ocean?
I don't know this one.
Never heard of Shout It to the Top, Style Council. Okay, interesting. No. What about yourself, Emily? Queen, obviously, of contemporary culture, and indeed wedding tunes that you would want to shake a stick to.
What song was it again, sorry?
Shout It to the Top, Style Council.
No, I don't think I have heard that one, actually, no.
Catherine Dove, medieval cot scholar-to-be and general all-round wonderful English undergraduate?
I'm afraid not. I'm apparently too focused in medieval past.
Too focused on medieval past to do... Kira?
No Paul idea. Off.
Well, there you have it, Phil Linus, once again, the contemporary world of popular music and one of your all-time favourites, which I kind of tried to sweeten the pill, given that you scored... not enough to actually win the for the third year running the Academy Award predictions. Welcome to the program.
All right, thank you. Lightning round. First of all, you're asking them whether they know a quote-unquote contemporary act that broke up 31 years ago.
Yeah, and
so not contemporary. They wouldn't even know the movie. They wouldn't know the movie Vision Quest from which that song comes. They wouldn't know Matthew Modine, who starred in Vision Quest. And nor should they, nor should they. Look, we don't have time for that. We don't have time to get into the nitty-gritty of the fact that for years I've asked you, what Oscar categories do you need me to fill out? So I predict all 24, and I get 18 out of 24 right, and I'm told that I lose because you decided which ones after the fact that count. All right. We don't have time for any of that. We don't have time to delve into my day yesterday with the cardiologist, nor even my love of kiwi fruit. We have no time for any of that because I have to turn the tables around on you and interview you because this is material that's going on to my radio show this week.
You know, I was simply going to say the girls all knew about the Foundations and Build Me Up Buttercup when we actually had their lead singer on in the early part of the program, Alan Warner. Just saying.
Okay, so Alex Lefchuk, yes, you, expert on all things cultural, science fiction, and specifically Star Trek. The question was asked of me by a loyal listener, why is it that some Star Trek movies feel like movies and other Star Trek movies feel like television episodes? He didn't have to specify that he was talking about First Contact versus Insurrection. I only knew that he was. But why is that, Alex? Why is it that two movies, or more movies, obviously, made for the big screen, some will feel like a movie, some will feel like an episode? That's not being pejorative that some are bad or some are good. It's just that they feel like a different medium when they were all aimed for the big screen. What say you, Alex Lefchuk?
I think you have to look at the production team who are behind the movies. If you're predominantly doing TV shows, whilst you can cross over, as Steven Spielberg crossed over very effectively, from television to cinematic big screen events and so on, then your focus tends to be more on a screen, a pace, a structure, a narrative, an area which follows the 3-4-5-act format and so on. I think that is part of the rationale. Maybe an interesting one, if we went to classic Trek, would be the difference between the huge cinematic opulence of what you refer to as Star Trek, the motionless picture. I still think it was Star Trek, the motion picture. The first one, which was very epic, and contrast that with the much more half-Bennett-oriented and produced dynamism of The Wrath of Khan, which many people would say is a lot better. But we're not here to discuss Star Trek stuff, but that was just an initial thought that would cross my mind.
We are, though. That's literally why I'm on the show. That's literally why I'm on, because this is going on to my show, and I needed an expert to delve into this with me. So I'm going to respond to your 2 points and ask for a further exploration. Mm-hmm. First, in the case of First Contact and Insurrection, it's literally the exact same production team. Mm. And it would make sense if the first film they did together perhaps showed their small screen origins, but indeed First Contact is the most cinematic of any of the Next Generation movies, and Insurrection perhaps the least. So what happens there? It must have something to do with story. And I like what you point out, though, with motion picture and Wrath of Khan. I think they're both cinematic, even though they both have wildly different budgets. But because their directors brought a real interesting worldview and expressed that visually.
Nicholas Rogue certainly had experience and chops to actually do that with
Nicholas Rogue did, but Nicholas Rogue never made a Star Trek
You're
movie.
Quite right. Nicholas Meyer.
Exactly. Nicholas Meyer, yeah. There you go.
All right. You see, I was taken by that because I do know that we do have another growing, blossoming Star Trek expert amongst us, because I believe, as well as reading Mike Dooley's text, Jessica, you've also been tuning into some of those classic episodes.
Yes, I've watched The City on the Edge of Forever, mm-hmm. and The Trouble with the Tribbles. I had to watch the Tribble episode.
So,
two of the best. One of my favorite moments in any work ever committed to celluloid is the whole exchange in City on the Edge of Forever about how someday the words "let me help" will replace "I love you" in significance. I thought that was so beautiful. And indeed it predicted the future, because I feel like people saying "let me help" is in such short supply in our contemporary
life. Who wrote those
life.
Words? Who will write them? Where will he come from?
Oh, you're quoting. See what you're doing? You're quoting Sitting on the Edge of Forever. We all got to witness you do it. It became a magic afternoon all of a sudden. So I guess we're done. You passed the buck most efficiently, and I'm not getting any more help on my own show.
Of course you are, Phil. Of course you are. We just need, I mean, if you only set a bit of time to sort the thing through. Might be worth considering the Briar Patch as a concept. Carries with it connotations of Brer Rabbit and his Briar Patch, and maybe the whole notion of calling something the Briar Patch in space possibly sort of set people thinking of a slightly different area. Although I quite liked Insurrection, I thought it had its possibilities. It was nice to see Picard have a romantic interest from that point of view. I think it worked well. It opened up a whole range of other aspects too. What did you make about...
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. It's not... that's why I was clear to point out that it wasn't pejorative, that meaning that it's an episode is bad. It's just... I would use the X-Files as an interesting... alternative point of study, where the series itself was so cinematic, and yet their second movie seemed like a TV show. I'm not sure I'm wrestling with that.
Maybe
one.
Robin Pierce might have a few things to add to that, which you could use as well from that point of view. I'm sure he will.
Oh, well, I hope so. If he does, if he comes up with an answer that I can use on my show, then he needs to award himself the most valuable contributor on today's midweek draft.
That's quite interesting. I wonder if Bose actually found what she'd lost on the early afternoon walk that they were having earlier. It's uncertain. Catherine, any questions you want to put to Phil Dearness, Ace Director, specialist, general teacher, a learner, co-creator in Los Angeles, and soon to be celebrating his first wedding anniversary.
Oh,
thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the paper.
Exactly.
The paper anniversary.
Yes.
I found out, because you want to find out if the marriage license is
worth
the paper
it's written on.
Printed.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I guess, you've had a very passionate discussion there about Star Trek. What are your kind of thoughts about the direction with kind of the new films?
Jar Jar Abrahams.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, perhaps J.J.
J.J. Abrams, and maybe his influence on Star Wars, which I have some thoughts about.
Share your thoughts.
J.J.
I don't like
J.J.
it.
Oh. Yeah. No, how could you? You already established the problem, which is the name J.J. Abrams. He's quite good at temporarily reviving things that he will then kill off. Mm. And he did it with Star Trek, and he did it with Star Wars, and...
He's going to do it with DC now. He's going to do it with DC. Unbelievable. Mind you, after the latest sort of figures for Harley Quinn on the Emancipation of, etc., it does look as though there's a lot of resuscitation needed to get those sort of figures high.
Or just let the dead die. You know, do not resuscitate. As I filled out at my cardiologist yesterday, do not resuscitate. If something goes wrong... By the way, you haven't asked me. I mean, I told you couldn't, but you didn't ask me how my tests
That's
went with the cardiologist.
I was waiting for Emily to just ask you that very same question. Emily, ask Phil about his cardiology thing.
Oh, God. Phil, how was your cardiology thing?
Well, I was shocked by how many dogs and cats were in the in the place. That's a callback to the previous conversation. It turns out that my heart is my least vulnerable spot.
This is good. This is good.
No one recognizes the Casablanca quote. Casablanca was a movie.
This could be the start of a beautiful friendship. Back in the day.
You know what I used to always begin the first day on every film that I was shooting? I always would gather everybody together for a little toast to get started, and I would always say, I believe that this project is the beginning of several beautiful friendships and the end of a lot of careers.
And that's why we still invite you on a weekly basis to join us on the Midweek Drive. Last two questions, please, Kira.
Okay, Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
Absolutely. When do we start?
Will you be joining us again next week?
I have nowhere else to go.
That's not strictly true because, you know, there's lots of places that we'll work through, and I'm sure Phil Dinas will be returning. Of course, you can always join us. We could try again via Skype to actually connect with Gabriella via that system. I mean, we could see if that was working. So is that thought. But
That'll be fun. That'll be fun, staying up all night to find out that your Skype system doesn't work.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's part of life's co-created experience. That's the important thing. Phil Linus, keep on keeping on. We salute you, sir.
And you.
And I never thought I'd feel this way, the way I feel about you. As soon as I wake up, any night, any day, I know that it's you I need to take the blues away. It must be love, love, love. It must be love, love, love. Nothing more, nothing less. Love is the best. How can it be that we can say so much without words? Bless you and bless me, baby. Bless the bees and the birds.
Yes, it must be love, Labby Siffrey, or it must be Robin Pierce. How are you, Robin?
Hey there, how are you?
Fine. 1 hour, 50 minutes, and still doing this material and engaging and so on and so forth. It's up to you to take the bridge, take the con. You have the con,
Robin. Take the con. Okay, then. Well, first of all, hi, Jessica. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the show. Hi, Emily. Hi, Kira.
Hello.
It's the time delay between Wales and England sometimes, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the satellite's broken. Okay, we kicked off with Alan Warner, Build Me Up Buttercup. It reminded me of those times when you'd put on an earworm that would bug me all week. But Build Me Up Buttercup is actually kind of a perennial favorite. It was covered by Kevin Smith, by the Goops in Kevin Smith's Mallrats. Don't know if you remember that one. Nobody. For some reason, you know, I thought that the Foundations, it was the Foundations, wasn't it?
Yes.
I always thought they were an American band. You know?
No.
I was really surprised.
Yes, they don't get all the good music, you know. As Jessica was alluding to earlier in the program, it was, of course, the Brit Invasion in the 60s.
That, yep. You
know, exactly. Yeah, but I don't know. I thought they were linked with Motown somehow, but no. Jim Christina, I like his prose. I especially enjoyed your cowboy reading.
Well, there you go, boy.
Now, I am going to award you a special award tonight, Alex. I am going to go on the air and tell the world that, in my humble opinion, you are the best British gentleman cowboy since the late Nicholas Parsons did Four Feather Fall.
Yeah, well, of course, I was channeling my inner Nicholas just to actually sort of follow that through. I felt you'd be proud of me, really, from that point of view.
Do you think we should explain that to the...
Four Feather Falls, Jerry Anderson's first animated series, literally about Four Feather Falls. No, you're sorry, ahead of Torchy the Battery Boy, you're quite right. Yes, fine. You can identify the mistake and work it through. Time is moving on. We've got 7 minutes, Robin.
Okay, William Calls, Nepal, impressive. Yak Hair Fashions, I would have paid to see that. Tessa's Tomb, Love Machines by The Rising. They were Irish, but they sound like they come from deep south Alabama when they sing. I'll give that a 7. I've never heard the Girls Aloud version, but I've never heard any Girls Aloud. It's just not my thing.
The jaws have dropped.
How?
That's very controversial.
How have you never listened to Girls
Aloud? Because I am pushing 60 and I don't see
down. But 10 years ago, they were big.
Exactly, they were very big.
Jeanette Byrne, I love that song. I really want to hear more. Women are the One, I really like that. That gets a 9. Ooh. I was impressed by the use of a 40-piece orchestra, because I like orchestral backing. One of the songs I really took to last year was Wayfarer by Bruce Springsteen, which I've heard on this very show. Bought the album based on that. Nice. Of course, then you played one of my all-time favourite songs with an orchestral backing, which was Shout to the Top. And somehow, nobody in the studio had heard of that. So I say to you, ladies, how?
How?
Yeah, indeed. I remember that show as well. Yeah. Poor old Fred Dinage and Jack Hargraves and the rest. Mike Dooley, I had been looking forward to this because, as you quite rightly said, I have subscribed to his emails and I find his stuff which comes through. I tend to read it first thing in the morning as I eat my breakfast, going through my mail. It's uplifting, inspirational. It's got a feel-good factor to it. I'm a big believer in positive thinking and optimism. And I like that quote that you gave, Alex, from another source, where, you know, if you're still here, it means that your mission isn't over. Mm. That resonates with me after the incident of, you know, couple
2 years
ago.
Exactly. If only you'd had Zoe Jameson to do with your cardio things, it would have been fine.
Indeed. Yes.
Or Phil Leonis, who knows?
Zoe Jameson, okay, fantastic. One of your studio co-hosts there, and I don't know which one, has the quote of the week. Mm-hmm. Now, who was going on about the dog and I quote, his little cute fruit? That's the quote of the week.
Take
right
a
there.
Guess, Robin. Just take a guess.
Was it Kira?
Yeah, there you are.
Okay, on to Phil. And Phil sent me a challenge about The Wrath of Khan.
And in particular, First Contact versus the Insurrection movies.
I thought that the question was, why was Wrath of Khan better than the motion picture, or was that you that asked that?
No, I kind of alluded to that because I still think that the Robert Wise movie is still unfairly criticised, but there you are.
I think that he went in the wrong direction. I think that Wrath of Khan, which then enabled the rest of the films, went back to basics with a dynamic between the trinity of Kirk, Spock and McCoy, and it gave that vein of humour that ran through certainly the first and second series, but was kind of lost in the third. The motion picture was an effects show.
And Jessica,
never an effects
Trouble
show.
With Tribbles or City on the Edge of Forever, which one would you say, that's good?
Oh, wow, they were both so good in different ways. The City on the Edge of Forever
too
was
much
so
of
emotional.
Every, too much of anything, Jessica. Even love isn't necessarily a good thing.
Well, there's never too many tribbles. I know they thought so, but I don't think so.
Except if they're dead tribbles.
I watched The Trouble with Tribbles yesterday, actually. Again.
It's worth looking into just to actually cheer you up from that whole perspective. A minute and a half or so to go before you need to do the announcements. Robin, where would you like to go? More Star Trek stuff that possibly Phil may or may not be able to use if he clips it from the show, for his own show. Showpack Hollywood.
Absolutely, absolutely. Does anybody want to ask me a question? Catherine, talk to me.
Well,
I love doing this.
Okay, what is your favourite Star Trek episode and why?
My favourite Star Trek episode was, I don't think it ever got any better than City on the Edge of Forever. It was written by a noted sci-fi writer Harlan Ellison. It showed Kirk, rather than be the swaggering kind of 60s hero that, you know, was the fashion at the time.
I could have saved her, Jim. Do you know what you just did?
He knows.
He knows.
He knows.
Let's get the hell out of here. Many journeys are possible.
And that was actually considered quite a strongly worded ending to the show as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yes, and the Guardian Forever, it has that kind of weirdness to it. And
a ninth spot.
A strong moral. And Joan Collins, wow.
I am endeavouring to put together a mnemonic memory circuit using stone knives and bearskins.
Do you remember those old photo novels that you used to be able to get back in the 70s?
But once again, time...
I love the City on the Edge of Forever one.
Time is scooting on by, Robin.
Time is scooting on. Way okay, the contributor I am going to award to Mike Dooley for being so gosh darn inspirational.
The award has been made, the decision is there, it is uncontrovertible. Mike Dooley, even with a cold, is still the contributor of the week. Most valuable contributor of the week for the Midweek Drive. Thank you. Robin, who would you like to ask you those last two questions?
Let's go with Jessica.
Robin, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Somewhere way beyond interesting, Jessica.
And will you be joining us again?
Oh, you can't keep me away.
Awesome.
Matt Robin will be on air tomorrow night with the Stone Tapes.
Oh.
You know, episode 58, I think, of the Stone Tapes. Very strange.
That is correct, yes.
All good.
We've been doing this a long time.
Catherine, have you enjoyed your first debut on the Midweek Drive?
I have. I've had a lot of fun.
Will you be coming back again?
I hope so, if I'm invited back.
It depends on Emily, really. She has these suits. You know, afterwards,
say.
You know, it's thumbs up, thumbs down, we go now, you know. But I think it's looking good, isn't it? Kira, back in the morning for a bit of magic?
Yeah, David!
David
back.
Fox, back Yay. With us! You coming back in the morning for a bit of magic?
Oh, tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
I can try. Yeah. Is it 8 in the morning?
Feel free, Emily, if you fancy doing that early shift. Oh. You know, it's there. It's
I might surprise you and turn up.
Well,
never know.
It's just wonderful. The news is coming up in a matter of seconds. Robin has been asked those last two questions, so that's great. Thanks very briefly to Alan Warner, William Coles, Jim Christina, Tessa Snart. I was going to say Siren News there. Thank you, obviously. Great stuff there. Jeanette Byrne, Mike Dooley, Zoe Jameson, Phil Leonis, Robin Pearson, you, dear listener, in the studio, Jessica, Emily, Kira and Catherine. Not Storm Kira, that's something completely different. Spelling with a C.
Know.
Yeah, exactly.
Clever Storm studio.
Happy trails. We shall say happy Star Trekking, Robin. One, two, three.
Happy Star Trekking.